from this morning, I want you to say, the Word of God is alive. It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Amen and amen. Well, that's a beautiful, beautiful confession. We're going to go straight into the Word. The Word of God is alive. Father, I thank You for the preaching of the Word this morning. Lord, we submit ourselves and we pray that You'd speak to each and every one of us today. Father, You know what people are in need of today. Lord, it's just going to be one word that will be preached. But I believe that this one word will meet Your people at their points of need in different places and in different circumstances. Father, we give You glory and we give You praise in the name of Jesus. Well, we're going to go into the Word. I want to start off this morning by saying, what would you do if I tell you that your life depends on drinking a specific type of pill every single day? Okay? Well, let's call it the green pill. The green pill. In fact, the more you drink the pill, the healthier you become. And the longer you get to live. And every time you drink the green pill, your level of joy increases. Your stress levels reduce. And your wrinkles become less by the day. And your white hairs retain their natural color. Well, you are further told that this pill can be taken during any time of the day. And guess what? You don't need any permission to take it because it's readily available. Now, the reality of the matter is that many of us would not miss out on taking the pill. The reason why you would not miss out, it is because you know the result is visible. You know that your life will be longer. You know that you'll be healthier. You know that you won't have wrinkles. You know that your gray hairs will retain their natural colors. And I'm sure many people will stock up. Many will take as many as possible every single day. I'm reminded of Vermectin. What do you call it? Ivermectin. This drug that people are talking about, it hasn't been tested properly for human consumption, but the fact that somebody said, if you take it, your chances of contracting whatever, COVID-19 or getting too sick will be low, and therefore people are taking chances. Now, what if I tell you that there is definitely a pill that you can take and will give you all of that and even more? Will you take it up? Will you take up the offer this morning? Now, this morning, I want to talk to you on a subject matter. Take the Word. Your life depends on it. Take the Word, the pill. Take the Word. Why? Because your life depends on it. Now, yes, I want to say your life depends on the Word. When you do not take the Word, you will eventually wilt away over time. Many people who have been disciplined enough to take the pill called the Word have seen their lives greatly improving. There's a picture that I saw. It's a picture that speaks of the medicine you need. I don't know if you'll be able to see it from wherever you're watching. You know, it's a pill, and on it it's written, forgiven all. All has been forgiven. It says here, long-lasting, extra strength, easy to swallow, okay? And warning, these are the side effects. The side effects include freedom from guilt, reduced tension, increased joy, spontaneous laughter, love for your fellow human beings, love for everyone around you, and an urge to tell others about the wonderful news. This is what happens when you take the word. Now, allow me to say, number one, people do not take the word because they don't see its value. They don't see its need in their life. That is why many people haven't come to the place of saying, I'm not going to go without the word. People do not take the word because they don't see its need and its value in their lives. And allow me to say this morning that failure to acknowledge the importance of the word does not render the word ineffective. Just like medication, it can only work if you take it correctly. If they tell you that if you take Panado, if you take Grandpa, your headache will stop. The pain will go away. You can only experience the results of that Panado of Grandpa if you take it. And this morning, I want to say to you, you will only see the impact of the word if you see it so important that you take it on a daily basis. You must come to a place to believe that you need the word of God more than you need your physical food. You've got to accept it as true that you can't live without the word. The issue that we have become so religious that when we look at the word of God, it's not as important as any other thing in our life. Have you ever noted that you can read a 7-volume novel without dropping it, without leaving it? But the moment you look at the 7th volume of the Bible, it is so difficult. It's cumbersome. When you open the Bible, you read the first paragraph, you feel like sleeping. But when you open one of those books of yours, you don't feel like sleeping. Why? There is warfare around taking the word. The moment somebody grabs the essence of the word, their life will never be the same again. Now, you've got to accept the fact that you can't thrive without it. Just like your lungs cannot live without air. You need air for you to survive. You need to accept the fact that you are hopeless without the word. Now, I don't know whether this is a reality for you today. Can we kick away the religiosity mentality and really be truthful to ourselves? Wherever you're watching from, I want you to think about yourself and say, how much value do I put upon the word? How much attention do I put upon the word? Peter definitely placed value on the word. There was a time where Jesus was talking to the broader perspective of disciples. Remember, Jesus did not only have the 12 who were the apostles. Jesus had many other disciples who were following him. And at some point, Jesus started teaching them around the whole concept of them drinking his blood and eating his flesh. He was saying to them, if you are to have life, you got to drink my blood. You got to eat my flesh. And the disciples listened to Jesus and they said, oh, this is too hard. This man is mystic. How come he's asking us to eat his body and to drink his blood? And because of that, many of them started walking away. They left Jesus. Now in verse 67, John chapter 6, verse 67. So Jesus asked the 12, do you want to leave too? Do you want to go as well? Because I've told you something difficult. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. To whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. I want you to realize this morning that in the absence of the word, we do not have life. And Peter acknowledged it. And he said, we're not going to go anywhere. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it is. Now, I want to say to you this morning, when you explore the word, you are to expect some doctrines and some teachings that sounds a little bit mysterious, that sounds a bit weird, that sounds counterintuitive. Because the world says for you to gather wealth, hold, keep it to yourself. But the Bible says if you want to have much, give away. Okay? But I want to say to us this morning, though some of the teachings are difficult to be understood, yet we should not reject them. Does somebody hear me this morning? Yet we are not to reject the word. Question, do you reject medication because you don't understand how it was manufactured? One. Two, because it's bitter to take. Do you reject medication that you know very well that if I partake of this medication, I will be made whole? How about the teachings of the word? No matter how difficult the teachings are, no matter how tough they are, you know very well that if I follow what the word says, my life will be changed. So do not reject the word because it doesn't make sense. Now, the Lord Jesus, just before he started his ministry here on earth, after he was baptized in the River Jordan, the Bible says the Holy Spirit led him into the desert where he was tempted. And at some point, the devil appeared before Jesus and uttered these words. And he said in Matthew 4, verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Well, was there anything wrong with Jesus turning stones into bread? Not necessarily. It wasn't really wrong. But was that what God wanted him to do? Was that the right thing for him to do? If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus was the Son of God. He did not have to do anything to prove a point, to say to the devil, I am the Son of Man, and therefore I will show you that I am by changing these stones into bread. Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Men shall not live by their own means. Men shall not live by their own conniving ways. Men shall not live by the flesh, by what tantalizes their feelings. Men shall not live by ideas of man, but they shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, Jesus was not going to go out of the will of his Father in order to prove a point. Put this down. Success in life happens when you follow the direction by the now word of God for you. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So success in your life can only happen when you follow the spoken word, when you follow the now word. Saints, I want you to know that for every circumstance you are going through right now, there is a now word for that situation. There is a now word for that situation. My question to us this morning as individuals is, are we prepared to follow the now word? What has the Lord been saying to you concerning your health, concerning your marriage, concerning your business, concerning your relationships? There is a now word that is available for you. And the Lord Jesus looked at the situation and says, I'm not going to be tempted to this point, but I'm going to wait upon the word that my Father releases, and that is the word I will live by. Man shall not live by bread alone. There's nothing wrong with having ideas, but if your ideas are not inspired by the word of God, those ideas will not fulfill. You cannot afford to go through the day without a dosage of this pill. You cannot go through a week without hearing what's on the heart of God for you. That is why in the Lord's Prayer, the so-called Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, the prayer goes like, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I want you to know that when you wake up in the morning, there is a word for you. Every church needs a now word for the church to go to its next level. And I want to say to you this morning, if you are the type of a person who craves for the now word, your life will always be fulfilled. Give us this day our daily bread. Many people would think this is in reference only to our daily needs physically. Yes, it can also refer to that. But I want you to know there is a daily dosage of the Word of God that every child of God needs. When you wake up in the morning, do you take time to inquire of the Lord and say, what's the word for the day? When you go through a season, do you take time to say, what's the word for this season? Maybe it's a season of grieving in your life. What's the word for the season? Maybe it's a season of being in need. There isn't enough in the house. What's the word for that season of being confined? Maybe it's a season of you trusting God for a life partner. What's the now word for this moment right now? What's the word for your season? The Bible tells us, give us this day our daily bread. Saints, we need to get that place, to that place whereby you say, I don't want to enter into a season without a word for the season. Put this down. A life that is disconnected from the word is a life that is disconnected from the source of life. A life that is disconnected from the word is a life that is disconnected from the source of life, because everything proceeds from the word. I want you to know that when you have the word, you have all that you need. When you have the word inside of you, you can produce what the word says you can produce. Why? We read last week from John chapter 1 verse 1 going down was that nothing was made which was not made by the word. It is the word that will turn around your sorrows into dancing. It is the word that will turn around your mourning into joy. Why? Because the word is the raw material for what we are looking for. It is because of this that we have so many of us who are lifeless, because we don't have the life-giving word inside of us. You see, many people do not pursue the word because they lack an understanding of what the word does to their walk with God. I'm sure what I'm teaching you this morning is nothing new. You've heard it over and over and over, but has anything changed on your attitude regarding the word? Now, I want us to go through on a couple of things here. I want to talk to you right now about the lifetime benefits of taking the word. Just like there are benefits of taking vitamins, supplements. These days, they tell you, you need to take some vitamins. You need to supplement the nutrition that you're having, because some of the foods we're eating these days don't have all that we need, and therefore you've got to supplement. My question this morning is that, is this, do you see the word as important as that? Number one, there are certain symbols that are used to describe the word. And the first one is, the word of God is your spiritual food. I cannot go more complicated than this. Unless you don't know the value of food, Just consider how many times you eat per day. There's a guy who works with us. This guy has his lunch at 1 o'clock, and then at 3 o'clock, he pulls out another lunchbox. He's got another dosage of food. And I'm like, how is that so? Well, he's on a certain diet, which I don't know. So this guy probably has 6 meals in a day. So this is how important food is to your body. When you fast, when you stop eating for a season, a lot of things don't go well. You've been told that breakfast is one of the most important meals of the day. Do not miss breakfast. Why? Because your body is looking for something. Your body is looking for something. Sometimes after I've done a massive workout of cardio, I feel I want to have something sweet. Because my body is saying, you need to replenish. You need to replenish. I want you to think about that in the spirit this morning. If you go through 3 days of not eating, something changes in your body. You lose energy, you lose strength. And you've got to do something about it. Now, in the same way that your food nourishes your body, I want you to know that the Word of God nourishes your spirit man. Put this down. Without the spiritual food, which is the Word, you are spiritually weak and you become susceptible to spiritual sickness. Think about it for a moment, saints. I'm not sure how to get this across to you, but may the Holy Spirit do something in your heart right now. That without the spiritual food called the Word, you are spiritually weak and you become susceptible to spiritual sickness. The reason why we have a lot of believers who are not doing well spiritually, it is because they haven't been feeding the spiritual man. It is because for the past 3 weeks, you haven't given food to your spirit man. I don't know how you've been feeding your spirit man in these past few days. But I want you to realize that in the same way that we are more encouraged to take vitamins in the winter season because the environment is not very easy, I want you to know that when you go through difficult times in your spiritual life, you need to take more of the Word. If things are not well in your body in terms of health, you need to take more of the Word. Because the stronger you are spiritually, you are able to withstand the winds that blow in the spirit. So without spiritual food, you are susceptible. What are some of the weaknesses you experience in the spirit? I don't know how many people have left their faith. Many people are discouraged. Many people are in a place of weakness. They are not able to pray. Why? Because spiritually they are weak. The more you partake of the Word of God, the stronger you are. Do you know that your child depends on you? If you are weak, and maybe you are breastfeeding, those of you know what I'm talking about. What you feed yourself with is what your child is going to feed from when they drink the milk. In the spirit, I want you to know that some of you here are parents in the spirit. You are mothers and fathers in the spirit. Now, if your mama is weak, guess what happens to the children? If the father is weak, the children will be weak as well. If our church is to be a strong church, we've got to have strong mothers, strong fathers who are able to pick up the children, the young ones in the Lord, and help them and show them how to feed on the word. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Jeremiah was a prophet whom God was using to release a word to the nation. And then he says here, your words were found. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Your word was found. Your word was found. It means you've got to find the word of God. You've got to seek for it. And it says, I ate the word. It filled me up. I consumed the word. It brought joy to my life. Now, Jeremiah received the word as God's word. As I'm preaching to you right now, are you receiving this as God's word, or is just one of those teachings? Or it is valuable to you. You take it to heart. Like Jeremiah, we must receive God's word as food is to a hungry man. Give a hungry man a plate of food. In a few minutes, it's gone. The food is gone. Why? The man was hungry. You ought to cheerfully receive the word. You ought to treasure the word in your memory. Digest it. Chew, mull on it. Be like the Berean church. The Berean church was one church that was into the word. After the apostles had taught the word, they would go and search the scriptures to ensure that what they were taught was aligned with the scriptures. The word is equated with bread. And I want you to know that bread is one of the basic meals that you find in any house. It is one of those meals that nobody will fight you for eating. Why? Because it is so basic. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. You see, bread is a basic staple diet for most people. Bread chases hunger away. Bread gives you energy for another day. And this is what the word does to you. When you get into the word and the word gets into you, it does something to you. The word is called water in the scriptures. And what does water do to you? Water refreshes you. Water cleans you up. I want you to realize that when you see a thirsty man, they will pay top money to get water. And this morning, I want you to know that is what the word does. The word comes to refresh us. The word comes to give us a new lease of life. The word comes to cleanse us. And when you drink the word, you will never thirst again. And your spirit man will be forever refreshed. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. We all know the Samaritan woman who came down looking for water. And that water was just going to satisfy for a moment. Little did she know that before her, there was a well of water that if she would drink from that well, she would never thirst again. Hallelujah. In John 4:13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Saints, there's a lot of water out there. There's a lot of fountains out there. But all of those waters do not satisfy. All of those philosophies to explain how life is do not give you the ultimate answer you need. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. When you partake the word of God, you become a life giver. You receive life and you become a life giver. You become part and parcel of the mission of God here on earth. and says, from you, life-giving waters will come out. And I want to challenge you, saints. If you are to be a life giver to your family, if you are to be a life giver to your husband, to your wife, to your children, get into the Word. So that is what it is. The Word is food. Number two, the Word of God is a lamp. The Word of God is light. Saints, there is nothing as terrifying and confusing as walking in the dark. The journey seems longer when it is dark. When you're walking in the dark, you're bound to bump into things. And it's not comfortable to walk in the dark. You are in danger because you don't know what's going on around you. Maybe there are wild animals lurking around you. But because it's dark, you don't know it. But the moment there is a light, the journey feels different. The journey feels light. You make more progress because you see where you're going. And this is what the Word does to us. I don't know what kind of confusion you're going through right now in your life. Are you about to make some very difficult decisions in your life? All you need is the Word. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That is so profound, saints. The Word of God is a lamp to your feet. The Word of God is a light to your path. Where are you going with your life? How do you know you are in the right direction unless you find yourself in the Word? The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the same way leads to death. That is why we need the Word in our lives. Psalms 19, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You see, in the presence of the Word, there is guidance and direction. Those who walk in the Word will never be lost. You might take a detour, but you'll come back into the path. The Word will get you back where you need to be. Put this down. The Word provides you the underlying principle for any choice you are about to make. The Word provides you the underlying principle. Let me say this to you. The Word will not tell you this is your husband. Okay? The Word will not tell you this is your wife. You will not find it in the Bible. But what I know, the Word will give you a guiding principle. The Bible tells you that do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It gives you a guiding principle. You've got so much money coming in your life and you don't know what to do with it. The Bible tells you what to do with it. Give and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. You're about to take revenge, and everybody in your office is telling you, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. But you go into Romans chapter 12, the Word tells you, no, revenge is mine. Avenge not, revenge is mine. The Word will give you the principle for any decision you're about to make. The question is, how can it be of help to you if you don't know it? The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. The Word will not tell you that you're going to study at University of Cape Town or the University of Pretoria, but the Word will give you guidance. The Word will lead you. The Word will give you a peace about something when you pray about it. Glory be to God. So the Word is a lamp. The Word guides us. Number three, the Word of God is a mirror. We know about this. But how often do we allow the Word to be that mirror in our lives? When I was young, My mom seemed to know everything about what I was doing. My mom knew when I was unhappy. She knew when I was excited. She knew when I had done something silly. It's as if she could see right through my eyes. You know what I'm talking about. Now, when I think of the word, it does exactly the same to everybody who comes before the word. The word will show you your state. The word will tell you that your collar is not standing right. The word will tell you that there's a green leaf of veggies on your tooth. Why? Because it's like a mirror. The word would reflect and show you where you stand. How many times have you sat under the ministry of the word and you feel like the preacher read your email last night? And you feel like he's talking about me. It's called the word. James chapter 1 verse 23. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. How many times have you read the word and the word really gets you and it tells you what to do? It tells you that your attitude has not been of God. It tells you that you've been an angry person lately. And anger does not reflect the righteousness of God when you go to the book of James chapter 2. My question is, what do you do when the word reflects the condition of your heart? What do you do? Are you prepared to do something about what the word reveals? The word reveals to you that you're becoming more and more of a bitter person. And I know some of you have been receiving this caution from the word of God. The word of God has told you that more and more the Spirit of God is finding it difficult to get to you. And what have you done about it? Put this down. The combined effort of the Holy Spirit and the Word reveals the state of your heart. The combined effort of the Spirit of God and the Word of God reveals the state of your heart. And how often have you prayed to say, Lord, search me? Look at Psalm 139 verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me. Are we prepared to be searched? Are we prepared to be examined? That could be the reason why we don't enjoy getting into the word. But the moment we submit ourselves to the word itself gives you power to change. Search our hearts. Many people walk around offended. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you, but why are you offended? But why are you angry? Cain, what's wrong with you? What's happening to you? Search us, O God. Number four, the word of God is a hammer and fire. The word of God is a hammer and fire. What does a hammer do? A hammer breaks things in the natural. It makes crooked things straight. A hammer softens things. It is a tool used on a building project. In other words, a hammer is a great tool to have in your tool shed. Anything that is under the hammer will know that it has been under the hammer. Now, my question this morning, have you been under the hammer of the word? You see, when your heart is under the activity of the word, an impression will be left forever. I'm yet to see somebody who has been submitted to the word and their lives has remained the same. Put this down. The word is able to break up and to make an impact on hard hearts. Is there hardening in your heart? Subject yourself to the word, child of God. Jeremiah 23, verse 19. The Bible says, "Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. I know some preachers who are being nicknamed as hammers. Why? Because they preach a word that leaves the heart uncomfortable. And you see, the word of God is not always released to tickle you, but also to challenge the status quo. When John the Baptist came on the scene, he had one aim, which was to disrupt people from their comfort zones. And you know what? More and more people are becoming uncomfortable with this aspect of the word. I've seen people being offended after certain teachings. They are angry. They take offense because they feel the preacher was being mean. The preacher was being vindictive in what he was saying. And I always say, have you ever sat under the ministry of John the Baptist, of Jesus Christ, where Jesus would speak to the Pharisees and says, "You are people who are full of hypocrisy, whitewashed tombs, full of dead bones inside, but looking great on the outside." John the Baptist would say, "Repent, you sons of vipers, repent so that there might be mercy that comes your way." That's the teaching we find in the Gospels. But today, many, many people are not given to sound teaching. Look at this, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. "For a time will be when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap up teachers to themselves according to their own lusts, tickling the ear. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and will be turned to myths." This is so key, saints. I don't know whether you fit into that category. A lot of pastors are tempted to water down the scriptures in order to draw more members into their church. Why? Because more and more people are not given to sound doctrine. They will not easily come to a church where the truth and only the truth is taught. But what I know, when we teach the truth long enough, the truth will have its work in people's lives. More and more people will come to the truth over time. The question is, are we prepared to hold on to the truth even when it feels like we are alone? Even when it looks like we are unpopular and nobody wants to come to our churches? But what I know, God is faithful. He watches over his word. The truth will always prevail. The word of God is fire, saints. When you're exposed to fire, there are certain things that happen to you. I want you to know that fire is comforting when it is cold. It has been cold this past week. And when you are around the fire, it just feels great. And that is what the word does. When it is cold out there, expose yourself to the fire of the word and you'll be comforted. And I want you to know that the word brings comfort and relief when things are cold and hard around you. And also, fire is equivalent to zeal and passion. Are you still zealous for the things of God? Are you still passionate about the things of God, about what God has called you to do? Or you have become so busy that the things of God are becoming a hindrance? you can get to that point. But when you get into the Word will ignite you. The Word will fire you up again. The Word will turn you around and say, no, it is for this reason that I'm in this church. It is for this reason that I'm in this community. I'm not going to give up. It hasn't been great around me, but I know the one who called me is faithful. And I want to be faithful to him. Jeremiah was called by God to teach a very difficult word. And at some point, because he felt he was alone, he thought of holding back. But the fire of the word could not let him go. Jeremiah 20 verse 9, that will be our last scripture, and we are done for the day. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. Why? Because I'm tired. I'm unpopular. Nobody wants to hang around with me. Nor will I speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Oh, man, the fire of the word of God will cause you to pursue the things of God like never before. This morning, saints, may the Lord give us a hunger for his word. Let's refuse to settle. Let's pursue the word of God as if it's the only pill that can change everything around us. When we do that, things will change. I want us to pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Pray for yourself and say, Lord, renew that hunger and thirst for the word in me. Lord, deliver me from being a professional Christian who is only depending on words that I had when I was 16 years old. I want a now word. I want a now word. Oh, yes, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray this morning that you'd help us. May you please forgive us, oh God, where we have neglected the word, where we have not paid attention to the word. Lord, help us this morning to go back to the basics. Help us, Lord, to submit ourselves under the fire of the word, to submit ourselves under the hammer of the word. Lord, we surrender to you today. Oh, yes, Lord, come and have your way in our lives. We depend on you, oh God. Without the word, we are nothing. Your word says, abide in me, and let my word abide in you, and you'll be fruitful. Father, we give you glory today in the name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. Thank you so much.